ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भागवत गीता एस इट इज बाय द डिवाइन ग्रेस ए सी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। चैप्टर वन ऑब्जर्विंग द आर्मीज टेक्स्ट नंबर्स 37 एंड 38। इट्स चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट 37 एंड 38। So if you like, we can chant together. We'll first do the word for word. Please repeat. Yadi api ete na pashyanti lobha upahata cetasaha Kulakshaya kritam dosham mitradrohe cha patakam katham na gyeyam ashmabihi papat asmat nivartitum Kulakshaya kritam dosham prapashyat bihi janardana. Yeah, chapitra 37 and 38. Okay, please repeat. Yadyapyete na pasyanti lobapahata cetasaha kulakshaya kritang dosham mitra drohe chapatakam Katang nagyeyam ashmabi papat asma nivartitum kulakshaya kritang dosham prapasyat bir janardana Yadyapyete na pasyanti lobapahata cetasaha kulakshaya kritang dosham mitradrohe chapatakam. Sorry, can you find it? It's No, it's different. It's chapter 1, text 37 and 38. Can you find it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we'll do the second verse one more time, and then the whole verse another last time. Katang nagyeya mashmabi. Papadasma nivartitum kulakshaya kritang dosham prapasyat bir janardana yadyapyete na pasyanti 37
Ja. Ja.
Yadya piete na pashanti. You have to kind of connect it. It's a little bit difficult. Want to try? You want to try and chant? Yeah, in the beginning it's a little difficult. Yeah, practice makes perfect. You want to chant? Go ahead. Yes. 37, 38. Go ahead. You want to chant? Yes, go ahead. Yeah, just the first line. Then I'll chant the second line. Yadya pyete na pasyanti. Yadya pyete na pasyanti. Loba paha ta chetasaha. Kulakshaya kritang dosham. Mitra drohe chapatakam. Katang nagyeyam ashmabhi. Papadashma nivartitum. Kulakshaya kritang dosham. Prapasyad bir janardana. Please repeat. Yadyapyete na pasyanti. Loba paha ta chetasa. Kulakshaya kritam dosham. Mitra drohe chapatakam. Katang nagyeyam ashmabhi. Papadasma nivartitum. Kulakshaya kritam dosham. Prapasyat bir janardana. Yadya pyete na pasyanti. Loba pahata chetasa. Kulakshaya kritam dosham. Mitra drohe chapatakam. Katang nagyeyam ashmabhi. Papadasma nivarditum. Kulakshaya kritang dosham. Prapasyad bir janardana. Thank you very much. Please repeat. Yadi. If. Api. Even. Ete. They. Na, do not. Pashyanti, see. Lobha, by greed. Upahata, overpowered. Chetasaha, their hearts. Kulakshaya, in killing the family. Kritam, done. Dosham, fault. Mitra drohe, in quarreling with friends. Cha, also. Patakam, sinful reactions. I think it's pat, no, patakam, yes. Katam, why? Na, should not. Gyeyam, be known. Asmabihi, by us. Papat, from sins. Asmat, these. We're doing 137-38. Nivartitum, to cease. Kulakshaya, in the destruction of a dynasty. Kritam, done. Dosham, crime. Prapasyat bihi, by those who can see. Janardhan, O Krishna. Translation, O Janardhan, O Although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? Purport. A kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party. Under such an obligation, Arjun could not refuse to fight. Because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana. I'll read it again. Under such an obligation, Arjun could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana. In this connection, Arjun considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge. Arjuna, however, could see the evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good. But when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Considering all these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight. Now, if you like, you can turn to page 1 and you can follow me chanting these invocation mantras, and they are to invoke auspiciousness. It is to pay respects to the previous acharyas or those who teach by example. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayang Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatang Sagana Raganatang Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvaitang Savadhutam Parijana Saitang Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bhando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Arjuna is speaking and Arjuna is saying Yatye Pyete Napashyanti Loba pahata chetasaha kulakshaya kritang doshang mitra drohe chapatakam katang nagyeyam ashmad bi papat asma nivartitum kulakshaya kritang doshang prapasyat bir janardana. So here Arjuna is talking with Lord Krishna. This is called Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavan means God. The word Bhagavan, it implies the person who has all six opulences in full. Bhaga means opulence, I think. Bhagavan, full of those opulences. So, and he has them in full. So there are six main opulences that are described in the Vedas. I don't know if there's a specific order, but if I can remember them all, one is to be rich. This is an opulence. People who are rich, generally they're respected. People get attracted to it. Because the word Krishna means all attractive. And here in the Bhagavad Gita, they don't really describe Krishna as Krishna. They describe him as Bhagavan, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Uvacha. Uvacha means speaking. Still, it's understood that it is Krishna who is speaking. So it is a descriptive word, Sanskrit word, Krishna, all attractive. And so it is understood by all the great sages that Krishna, in fact, was God. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, you can see there, in India. And this particular place is called Gurukshetra. It's described in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetra, Gurukshetra. And so this place, Dharma Kshetra, or Gurukshetra, is a Dharma Kshetra. It's a place of religion. Another translation of Dharma is religion. So that place is still there in India. And that where this great battle, it was actually a world war. Because in those days, the world was ruled by Hastinapur. Hastina means elephant, and Pur means city. So it was a city where all the elephants were. And it means it was a very powerful city. It's still a place in Delhi called Hastinapur. So Delhi, of course, it's now a very, very big city. But in those days, it was also very, very big. And that part of Delhi called Hastinapur, that was the original ancient part of Delhi. And the world was ruled from that place. And it was a very opulent place because it had all these elephants. To maintain an elephant is actually very, very difficult. And it had hundreds and thousands of elephants. And so when the war was there, then actually all the armies of the world, they gathered there in this place called Gurukshetra. And Arjuna, he was a very great general. He had four brothers. And one of his brothers was called Yudhishthir. And that was his elder brother. And Yudhishthir was actually supposed to be the king. But they grew up, their father actually died prematurely. And his father, he had a brother who was blind, was an older brother. The problem was, since the brother was blind, he was not supposed to rule the kingdom because he was considered to be unqualified. Because in those days, the king would actually govern the whole country and, in fact, the whole earth. And the king would also talk justice. The people would sometimes present certain cases, and they would be presented in front of the king. And the king would, if there was like a murder, then the king would proceed in punishing the murderer by chopping off his head. It sounds a little bit brutal. The understanding, what we have from the Vedas, that's why it's called Vedic culture. That culture was actually all over the world. Like nowadays in Europe, you have this kind of leftovers. The Romans, they kind of destroyed it when they ruled Europe. They destroyed all these different tribes. Those tribes were actually leftovers from the Vedic culture, because this particular history was, this book, Bhagavad Gita, it was spoken 5,000 years ago. And this particular history was also 5,000 years ago. And in those days, the whole world was ruled, it was influenced by this Vedic culture, which had its capital in India, near Delhi. So the people, they actually had this Vedic culture. And and it is now, it has been lost, actually, this Vedic culture. But like now, because of the internet and many of this knowledge is coming up, some of it is coming up. Like you have, it's called something like this witchcraft is coming up. People believing in the forces of nature. They believe that there is forest spirits, and like that there's fears of the spirits of the river. And like that. So people used to believe like that. They used to, their whole culture would be like that. And the understanding is that ultimately there is one ultimate cause, ultimate God. And that God, one of the words for that God, the same God that is described in the Quran and also by Jesus Christ, is Krishna, all attractive. So So I was explaining that one other word for God is Bhagavan. So one of the opulences is all riches. Somebody who is very rich, he's attractive. And another one is all powerful or all strength. Somebody who is very strong or powerful, he's attractive. Another quality is somebody who is very renounced. Krishna was also very, very renounced. Like sometimes he's being accused that Krishna is dancing with all the coward girls. Of course, that is true. The understanding should be that actually this is a spiritual relationship. Krishna is God. His body is spiritual. Our body is material. It is made out of blood, pus, bones, like that, air, water. And Krishna's body is made out of Sat Chit Ananda. It is made out of eternality, out of knowledge, and out of bliss. And this is like eternal. Sat, it's eternal. So Krishna's body is not like ours. And when Krishna was dancing with the gopis, this was actually purely spiritual. And at the height of the dancing, Krishna just left because he felt that the gopis had taken him for granted. They were a little bit proud in his eyes. This is all spiritual ecstasy. So Krishna left them. So therefore, he's called very, very renounced. Because it's very difficult if one is with a beautiful girl in the forest, then to renounce that. But Krishna, he did that. That's why he's actually called the best of the brahmacharis, or the best of the celibate monks. So, very rich, very powerful, very renounced, very beautiful. Krishna was very, very beautiful. Very rich, very renounced, very powerful, very beautiful. What else is there? Very famous. Krishna is very famous. 5,000 years, everybody still knows Krishna. He's on many pictures everywhere. So this is another opulence. And then? Rich? Yes. Krishna is very knowledgeable. Like he spoke this whole Bhagavad Gita. Not only is he very knowledgeable, he has all knowledge. So somebody might be very knowledgeable, like Einstein. So, but he doesn't have all knowledge. He even admitted. He said, the fact that what I am discovering, just all these complicated things I learn about the universe, this is all proof of God. I cannot actually understand it. It's so complicated. There must be a supreme controller. There must be a supreme designer. Einstein was completely convinced there must be a God. Because it was like such a structure in the universe. So anyway, so Einstein is very knowledgeable, but Krishna is all knowledge. And Krishna is all renunciation. He has all power, all strength, all beauty. So we should understand, when we read this Bhagavad Gita, that it was spoken by Lord Krishna. And it was spoken on the battlefield. And like I said, Arjuna's brother, he was supposed to rule the kingdom. Because his father died, and then his older brother took over the kingdom, Dhritarashtra. And because he was blind, he was not supposed to rule the kingdom. The problem was, however, that when his younger brother died, he felt that actually I should have been the king. And so he also had sons, and they grew up together. They grew up together under Bhishma Dev, who was like the great-grandfather. And so when they became older, then it was time for Dhritarashtra to step back and make place for Yudhishthira, who was supposed to be the heir, because his father, what was the name of his father? Arjuna's father and Yudhishthira's father, Pandu. So King Pandu, he died, and so his eldest son was supposed to take the throne. But because his elder brother, who was blind, he had ruled the kingdom for so many years while the children all grew up under him, his sons and also the sons of his brother, then his son was he was very evil. And he kind of usurped the throne. And his father was attached to his son. So they pushed away these five brothers. And they pushed away Yudhishthira, who was a very noble person. And so the whole kingdom actually went into disarray because of the bad management of Duryodhana. And then Krishna, he got very upset, actually. And he tried to push and with diplomacy so many things to put Yudhishthira on the throne. But Duryodhana, he didn't budge, and many things happened. He actually tried to poison his half-brothers, and he tried to kill them. Many, many incidences. He even raped their wife. Some other, they had a wife, and the wife was married to all five brothers. That is another story. And he actually ordered his friend to drag her into the assembly by her hair and then take off her clothes. So this is like rape. And this was in front of all the kingly persons. So this was such a great offense to the brothers. And so there were so many reasons, actually. And then he banned the brothers from the kingdom for, what was it, 14 years. And then the brothers came back, and they just begged him, just give us a piece of land. And they tried everything, and he didn't want to give them any land. He was so envious. So then gradually this whole war started. And so then Arjuna, this is actually the Bhagavad Gita, he became actually sentimental. It will be explained in the next chapter. And he was sentimental because it were his brothers. They grew up together. And so here he's complaining. He's saying, Krishna, O Janardhan, although these men, you know, his brothers and his uncles and his grandfather, their hearts, not all of them, but at least most of them, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends. Why should we, who can see the crime of destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? So Arjuna actually is a devotee. He's a devotee of Krishna. This is why Krishna is speaking this book, Bhagavad Gita, to Arjuna. It's also explained in later chapters that he's saying, because you're not envious, I'm explaining the secret to you. And actually, to explain the secret, which is what I'm trying to do now, this is actually a secret. It's called the Raja, what is it called? Gujam, Raja Gujam, the king of all Gujam, all secrets. This Bhagavad Gita is actually very secret knowledge. And now we make it available throughout the whole world. It's like an open secret almost. We freely distribute these books. Sometimes we don't even ask for a donation. We just freely give these books away. We just ask for some donation, whatever people can give. We also sell these books, of course. We're really trying to distribute this knowledge. Like I'm now trying to distribute this knowledge. We don't charge any money for these classes because we want people to understand this eternal knowledge. And so Arjuna, he was a devotee of Krishna. And he was soft-hearted. So he was saying that me and my brothers and all my friends and my kingly supporters, we know that it's not good to kill one's own family and to quarrel with friends. It was actually kind of a quarrel in one sense. So, but in another sense, it wasn't. That will be explained by Krishna. Because Duryodhana was actually a very bad person. And Krishna explains, dharma samstapanartaya vinashaya chaduskritam. He is there to dharma samstapanartaya, to establish dharma, to establish religion, vinashaya, to destroy chaduskritam, the duskritanas, the people who are not sukrit. Su means good, and krit means to do. Not those, the duskritana, those who do not good. Sanskrit is kind of a mathematical language. Duskritana, those who are not doing good works. In other words, the demons. So he's there to destroy the demons. Like you have so many Hollywood movies, and they always talk about the bad guy and the good guy. So the good guy is supposed to stop the bad guy from doing bad things. So this is basically what's going on in Bhagavad Gita. Although, I must say, it's not completely good guy, bad guy. Because actually, when we talk about good guy, bad guy, it's still on the material platform. And this is on the spiritual platform, because it's connected to Krishna, it's connected to God. And because it's connected to God, it's not only good, but it's all good. It's connected to God. And therefore it is, we call it transcendental, Prabhupada coined it. It transcends even good and bad, because it's connected to God. Ultimately, Plato also explained this, you have eternal and temporary. And this world is the world of movement. Everything is changing all the time. It's temporary. And the spiritual world, the world of the soul, is where we actually come from. The soul is eternal, and it goes from one body to the next. And so the soul has been incarnating. Karna means flesh. It has been going from one flesh-like body to another flesh-like body. Even plants, they also have a soul. Sometimes we call like an artichoke. We say the flesh of the artichoke. Even that, it's like flesh. It's just a different kind of flesh. So we are actually eternal. We come from the spiritual world. And that is the eternal world. And that's where we're actually from. And that is the real world. That is what we need to connect with. Or as Prabhupada used to say, reconnect. He said, you have to go back to Godhead. We were already there. We just disconnected. Like Lokanath Swami explains, we are in ignorance. We are ignoring Lord Krishna and his devotees. And it's simple. It's a simple thing. We can just come to this temple and we can chant this mantra, Hare Krishna. And then we can reconnect. These names are spiritual names. Krishna, I already explained, it means all attractive. Hara or Hare or Radharani, it means the spiritual energy of the Lord. It means his eternal companion. And Rama means his brother, the source of all pleasure. So this mantra, it actually means all energy of the Lord, Hara, Radharani, eternal companion of Lord Krishna, supreme personality of Godhead, all attractive Godhead, source of all pleasure, please engage us or engage me in your service. That's what this prayer means. That's why it's called the Maha Mantra. There's so many mantras. Mantra comes from the word mana. Mana means mind. And tra means to deliver. So the mantra is to deliver the mind. This is what the Christians don't fully understand. They don't fully understand karma. Because the soul, of course, the Christians also have this concept, the soul is spiritual. The Vedas, however, explain Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano budhir evacha. There is earth, water, fire, ether, but there is also mind, intelligence, and ego, or rather false ego. Real ego is I'm a servant of God. And false ego is I'm a servant of myself, of my senses. I'm a servant of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. I'm a servant of, Prabhupada used to call it, extended selfishness, of my family. Even Gandhi, he's called a Mahatma, but he actually is not really a Mahatma because he was only interested in India. He was serving India. And the result, actually, it was not auspicious because ultimately it failed. It split up and it created Pakistan and India. So Prabhupada wrote a whole letter to Gandhi just before he left. He said, all you need to do is connect everything to Krishna and then it will be all right. But Gandhi, he didn't fully appreciate that. He had some concept of Bhagavad Gita, but not fully. Sometimes they say Gandhi, he's a saint amongst politicians and a politician among saints. So it's not fully on the transcendental platform. The transcendental platform means it needs to be connected with Krishna. And Krishna is all good. Because there needs to be, like Einstein, I talked about Einstein, he says relativity theory. And one of the things about the relativity theory is that it is relative. And relative, it means to some extent that it must relate to something. It is relative according to another thing. So everything is related to something. And if you are intelligent and you study this, you'll see that ultimately everything relates back to Krishna. So if something is not related to Krishna, it means it's akrishna or maya. Maya means that which is not. And that means it's not spiritual. And that means it's actually temporary. And it's more something that is in our mind. It's really the mind that is confusing things. So as soon as we spiritualize the mind by chanting this mantra, by understanding this philosophy, then we become spiritual. And that is what will be explained by Lord Krishna, that you need to connect the mind with Krishna. This is actually the supreme secret of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, man mana. Think of me. Again, this word, mana, mantra, maha mantra, the great mantra. And the easiest way to think of Krishna is to simply chant this maha mantra. Together, san kirtan. Kirtan means to glorify Lord Krishna, and San means same, together. Together we can glorify Lord Krishna by chanting this mantra. And then not only we will feel this kind of connection with each other, we feel this connection with Krishna. Actually, it's the other way around. By connecting with Krishna, we feel that we're connected to everybody, not only the people who are chanting, but the more you chant, you'll feel connected to everybody. And Prabhupada says, you won't even kill an ant, because you understand this ant is also part and parcel of Krishna, because he's not an ant, he's a soul going from one body to the next. He's on his way back to Godhead. So we need to reconnect with Krishna, and the way to do it is just to purify the mind. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. We need to clean the mirror of the mind, and when we clean the mirror of the mind, then we can see the self. And the self, like explained, it's the soul, and it's an eternal servant of Krishna. So this will become clear more and more by Lord Krishna explaining to Arjuna that we are not this body, and that we should simply think of Krishna. It's that simple. Prabhupada says it's so simple you can almost miss it. So it's that simple. You just think of Krishna. And you should understand that this knowledge that I'm giving to you, that's why I'm sitting on this big chair, it's called the Vyasasana. Vyasadeva is the one who actually, he spoke this knowledge. He got this knowledge from Krishna and he spoke it to his disciple Narada Muni. And Narada Muni explained it to, again to Vyasadeva. And it was written down. So this knowledge is actually spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge. So you shouldn't take it lightly. This is exclusive knowledge. It's not so much like the Bible or like the Quran. We accept them as books of knowledge, as books of God. But these books come directly from God. I always tell people this is like inside information. It's a very exclusive knowledge. There's things in here that you'll find in the Bible, but there's other things here that you can only find in these books. So I humbly request you to understand that these books are very, very special, and that this mantra also is very, very special. And like I said, we respect all these religions, especially, you know, Muhammad and Jesus. We respect them as devotees of Krishna. Still, we feel that they gave a limited kind of knowledge for those times, for those people. And if you want to be more connected in a very direct way, you can just read these books and we'll chant now together and just chant this mantra. And you'll feel immediately, you'll feel that you become purified. And this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita, that we connect with Krishna and we follow Krishna's instructions, and then everything will become in order. We'll become happy and everyone will become happy. This is our motto, Sarva Sukhinu Bhavantu. Let everybody be happy. So thank you very much. And now we'll chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.